Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie, I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. Today, we have the entire Stop the Movie crew here with us.
Yay!
We have, I'm Alex Dunbar, here with Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Cody Wolf.
Hello, chums.
Andrew Wolf. And Brian Newer.
I just want to say, I wish I was John Cusack.
Cusack?
Cusack.
Who's John, is John Cusack, who's that, your neighbor?
Are you about to start a, is this another one of your fan clubs?
Wait till that scene comes up.
Wait, he's in several scenes. He's in like a lot of the movie.
He's in like half the movie.
Anyone who knows, yeah. Andrew knows what scene he's talking about.
One scene I like to be in.
I'd also like to note that when we introduced you, I said, and Andrew Wolf, you went, yeah. So, great catchphrase.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And Brian Muir.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Brian joins us today.
I thought we were all doing horse noises.
Yeah. This is a fantastic episode. This is a movie not a lot of people have seen. It's 2000.
When was it made? Oh,
2012.
Okay. It was, okay.
Yeah.
This movie was made, and when was it made?
I jumped the gun.
Yeah.
A little excited there.
Wait 1 second.
Yeah. 2012's
comedy.
The Paperboy.
Yes.
If you haven't seen this movie, pause, turn it off, go home.
Spoiler alert.
Watch it.
Please watch this movie.
It's on YouTube if you know how to find such things on the internet. And watch it. It is crazy. If you're someone who's listening to this and you're a fan of the concept of So Bad It's Good, you should see this movie. This movie is... If Gwen Stefani was here, she would say it's B-A-N-A-N-A-S. It is nuts.
It's bananas, Andy.
Yes, I know.
And I should also note that this is the content of... There is no way to talk about this movie without going into some offensive content. So if you're easily offended, I would hit stop now. Enjoy your day. We'll see you next week because that is also going to get crazy.
If you're under 12, turn it off right now.
That's a pretty arbitrary number. I don't know where we pulled 12
even
from.
Maybe
well, PG-13.
Want
to
go higher now?
I would go higher.
I was especially shocked because I thought this was the film adaptation of the
NES video game?
Video game.
Yeah, so did I.
I think it is.
That would have been better.
Actually, I thought it was the horror. There's a horror film called The Paperboy. So I thought that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Really? Good thing you watched the right one. Or did you watch the right
one? I did the right one. Yeah, I said it. Because he said Matthew McConaughey and Nicole Kidman. I was like, really? They're in this low-budget horror film from the 80s?
That would have been quite the upset.
Yeah, that would have actually been better if you watched some other movie and we were all talking
about it. I can see that. That's going to happen at some point. One of us is going to watch the wrong movie.
Yeah.
I wish I did watch the other movie.
We'll get right into the insanity. So it starts off pretty dull. We're probably going to have to jump around and some stuff, but you basically get the premise of someone killed. The movie's set in the 60s, although some of it's...
It's told through a flashback of a maid who is now...
Oh, I try to hide and not show. Try to walk away and not stumble. Oh, I try to hide it. It's clear. My wall crumbles when you are not here.
Macy Gray is
ladies and gentlemen.
Who I can't, I'm going to make insult a lot of things in this movie. Macy Gray is possibly the best.
She's the shining star of this movie.
She's the only character I cared about in the entire film.
And she was kind of useless, too.
She's telling the story, but
she wasn't there for most of the story.
Yeah.
She wasn't even there for any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did she know all this stuff?
I know.
That is kind of weird, actually, how she knew, especially some of the things that we're going to be getting into.
Yeah, especially.
That one scene,
A couple scenes.
Two scenes.
Three,
yeah.
five,
There's like
eight
four or
scenes.
Five
Baker's
scenes.
Dozen worth of scenes.
Yeah. So someone killed a small-town sheriff, and it sounds like this sheriff was horribly racist, and we're getting into something where that the murder of this sheriff is going to be crucial to the plot. Or that's what the movie is telling
us. I thought that's what
is going to be crucial to the plot.
Right. I want to know who killed the sheriff. Oh, I'm not going to know, am I?
No, you're not going to know. We still don't know.
Very possible that was John Cusack.
It could have been John
Cusack. And we then start getting introduced to characters. Scott Glenn, a returnee from Sucker Punch.
Yes.
He's a small town Florida.
He's the editor of a newspaper. Yes.
Okay.
So he's not the...
No, I think he owns the newspaper.
He owns the newspaper.
He doesn't own the Miami newspaper.
He's the editor-in-chief.
No, not the Miami newspaper.
Because they keep... Okay, go ahead.
I know. This is not well explained. Yeah. I think he owns a small
They do
town.
Kind of jump in without a lot of explanation. You got to, like, pick it up
I had
as
no
you go.
Idea what was going on, like, 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. Like, oh you got to pick it up. You got to pick it up as you go.
I had little idea what was going on 45 minutes into the movie. So he's publishing a small town Florida.
All I knew at that point was that kid liked to jerk off. That's all I knew.
Yeah, because they kept talking about it.
Okay.
Zach Efron says, yeah. I could have been jerking off in here. Why did you come in, Anita, the maid, when Macy Gray comes in? She's Anita. Yeah.
But Zach Efron was 12.
Zach Efron is probably like, what, 25 now?
Who are you?
Oh, he's 12.
Would you like it if he was 12?
I think time stands still in your home. all right, let's set the table a little bit. Scott Glenn is a small town Florida newspaper publisher. Zac Efron plays his son,
his not 12-year-old son,
who's in college, who's 20. Yeah,
he's a paper delivery dropout. Boy. He doesn't take the business too seriously.
Yeah, Macy Gray.
He's the paper boy.
He's a swimmer. He's a swimmer, and
he never made it big. He's like an Olympic style swimmer, but
he
never
got
made
kicked
it.
Out because he drained the pool.
Yeah,
right. He got kicked out of college
and come back, and now he's delivering papers.
And that's not going to come back at all.
Well, just right. kind of right. right. Just kind
you're
of.
You're waiting for the whole thing to wrap up, like.
Oh, it does.
Well, and Macy Gray is there.
Because it's the South and it's the 60s, Macy Gray is there.
Just to let everyone know, Andy is one behind today. At every moment when things are going on.
He's one step behind.
Give us 5 seconds, and then Andy's
pause. Pause for me, all right?
Yeah. Got the delay.
We have him on a 5-second delay.
For good reason.
And Macy Gray is their family maid. So something, basically now we get this storyline of Nicole Kidman is trashy, and she's constantly writing to prison inmates.
Via
like
pen pal,
hundreds.
Yeah.
She's like hundreds of prison inmate pen pals.
For some reason, she thinks that this is the best way to get a man.
There are real women like that right. enjoy yeah. like writing to like guys yeah. on death row.
Yeah, and I should say too, at this point, the movie isn't off the rails. It's just. Confusing as hell
yeah,
for what's yeah. happening.
It takes
and
a while before you figure out who's doing
I felt like I was
what.
Watching a soap opera or
oh,
something.
Oh, really dull. Yeah. And then Matthew McConaughey comes into the movie. He's a Miami Herald reporter.
And he's the older brother of the Zac Efron character.
Of Zac Efron. He's working on a story about this questionable conviction, I think,
of the guy
of
who killed
of
the
who
sheriff.
Killed the
who
sheriff.
Was accused
yeah,
of right. killing the sheriff yes. from the beginning.
John Cusack.
Yeah.
Cusack plays that.
And he's...
What's his name? Harley, Hooley. It's a girl's name, isn't it?
Hillary.
Hillary.
Hooley.
Yeah.
No, what's his Hooley. Name? It's
Hillary.
A girl's name.
The character's
Hillary.
Name.
Hillary.
Yeah. He's got a girl's name.
5 second delay again.
5 second delay. And also.
I thought you were kidding.
Can I?
Hillary. One.
And,
two.
Just to pause for a second, are you saying that Hooley is a girl's name?
Hooley.
I thought you said Hooley. Who said Hooley? Did I say
I said Hooley after you said Hooley.
I said first? Yeah.
Yeah. I know some like Kyle Hillary.
He's
Hillary.
Having a stroke today.
Yeah. So, okay, John Cusack plays this guy named Hillary, who is in jail for murdering the sheriff. Matthew McConaughey and his writing partner, an African-American man named Yardley, are from the Miami Herald.
He's very, very English.
Yeah, it's David Oyelowo.
All over London.
Yes.
Which I kind of knew something was up when he said, I'm from all over London.
What? How did you know something was up with that?
The dinner scene is like, he says, Faisal, so what part of London are you from? He's like, I'm from all over London.
Your accent is spot on.
I love London.
That
sounds like someone from all over Ireland.
That's a Liverpool accent.
By the way,
your accent is spot on.
That is the first time I've ever heard a worse English accent than Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. Like, that's terrible.
I'm from all over London.
That's not good. That's like an Austrian one.
Oh, yeah. Darn it. I get
Governor,
them confused.
Governor. See?
What? What? Okay.
Scene.
So the
Oh, Governor.
Yeah. Is that a good one?
Yeah.
That's how everyone talks today.
Oh, Andy.
Might I sweep your chimney, sir?
Hello, Hooley. Oh, I mean Hillary. I'm Sir Hillary Hooley Brant III. I'm from all over London.
Terrible. So the two newspaper reporters are working with Nicole Kidman?
She apparently contacted them because she is convinced. Now, this is bizarre. She's convinced that Hillary, the John Cusack character, is innocent because of his the way he his sexual advances towards her in his letters.
Right.
Yeah. Are different than everybody else's. Therefore, she thinks he's innocent.
Where did you pick that up?
Because
in one part, he reads a letter.
He reads a letter and he says, "Wait a minute. He wants oral sex done differently than everybody else. Therefore, she thinks he's innocent."
Right.
And
that would hold up in a court of law.
I think it would.
And at this point, what's not clear is why the reporters are taking Nicole Kidman seriously. Why they aren't like,
because this is not a joke. Like, this is clearly what her motivation is.
And this, by the way, we should note, this movie is like a legal thriller. This is like a like the trashiest John Grisham novel you could ever imagine.
I thought it was A Time to Kill too.
It was legal. It seemed like everything it did was not. Wouldn't hold up in the
well. It's kind of like I don't, or maybe not legal, but it's like it's a trashy. I
mean, it's a journalistic thriller.
A trashy journalistic thriller.
But if you really didn't know anything, you would have thought that they were lawyers. The way they were working.
The way they go.
Well, you do. Yeah, you go back and forth. Like, oh, I thought the lawyers. And then, oh no, that's right.
No,
they're journalists.
Just newspaper.
And they're set up in the garage.
And why are they taking Nicole Kidman seriously? Why are they not like, oh my god, our source is nuts. Like, we got to get her out of here.
You read a bunch of letters. All she has is letters and court documents.
And she's crazy. And she's nuts. Should not be privy to anything that they're writing.
Now, this is not what was going on, but I thought that at this point, the direction they were going was that the Cusack character was sort of controlling her from the inside, like psychologically, like Hannibal Lecter style, and feeding her this information, I'm innocent, you got to get me out, I'm innocent, you got to get me out. And if this was happening, it was happening off camera and it was never mentioned.
Actually, that's happening in a better movie that wasn't made, because that's a much better storyline than anything we're about to delve into.
Well, you could say later John Cusack controls her from the inside.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yes, you can. That's very true.
That is. So, Zac Efron... Zac Efron now
he basically oogles Nicole Kidman for
he is like enamored with her.
106 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's fascinated. Even though everyone he's kind of aware that Nicole Kidman is wildly unstable and unhealthy,
and
but
20 years older than him.
At least.
Well, it's the mother complex. They bring it up later. All of a sudden it's like kind of like.
Yeah, but it's kind of glossed over. Like, all of a sudden, oh yeah, our mother split.
Yeah,
so that's why he's into her.
Right. It took a while to get to that though.
Yeah. They also get into how Zac Efron... Was anyone disturbed by how Zac Efron's like, I was kicked out of college because I emptied the pool. That didn't make sense to me. Like, you don't...
So now I don't swim.
I mean, it's not like colleges are swimming in above-ground pools. Like, you don't empty an Olympic-sized pool. You're not
well,
like...
Well, he said it's harder than you think.
You'd have to have, like, a pond.
He did say
that. It must be a lot
You need somewhere
harder.
Where that water's going
to like
go.
3 days.
Yeah. That would have been a better movie than this. Just I would have rather seen an hour and a half of Zac Efron emptying an Olympic-sized
like
pool.
Like a caper movie of, like, four guys trying to figure out how to empty a pool.
Yeah. Like, so it's
like Tower Heist, except pool drain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. And then... So they're then going to go, the two reporters, Yardley and Matthew McConaughey, are going to go to the prison to interview John Cusack.
Bad idea!
For reasons not clear, they bring Nicole Kidman with them. Andy, I'm going to ask you,
and
you
Zac
work
Efron.
In journalism, as several of us do. Is it pretty common practice to bring other interviews with you when you go to do an interview?
I think in this case it is. Because
really?
You'd be like, we're going to go interview a prison inmate, let's bring the girl in the dress and he'll be more apt to talk.
Really?
He wasn't
apt
to do anything.
I would say you and
he's
I
apt to do something.
You and I have both done several jailhouse interviews in our day.
Yeah.
How many times have we brought an outside person to a jailhouse
interview?
We never
interview? Had. We're not smart enough to do that.
Okay.
They were smart.
Really,
than we
should
are.
Have been doing
we
this. All
been
right.
Doing
we would have got a lot more information. Well, they really
didn't get anything.
They got too much information, I think, actually.
Because... It goes crazy. I mean, it just goes...
Yeah, this just kind of... Yeah.
Just dirty.
It is gross. They are... So Matthew McConaughey and Yardley are trying to talk to John Cusack about if he's innocent of this crime. There's a point where he's like, hey, hold on. I'm too busy looking up Nicole Kidman's dress to be talking about my guilt or innocence right now, guys. You know,
and they're not allowed to touch, but they're sitting like 10 feet apart.
And then...
Lift up your dress.
We should have done a reenactment of the scene.
This is just kind of like basic instinct if it like took it to the next level.
Even trashier. Like,
this is just, I felt I needed a shower after this scene and it wasn't that It wasn't like I needed a cold shower. I felt disgusting after seeing this scene.
So, so basically, Nicole Kidman starts pantomiming
blowing
oral sex while she's like sitting like 5 feet away from John Cusack, who's really into it.
And he's rubbing himself through his pants.
And Matthew McConaughey and Yardley are sitting there looking at this like it's a science experiment, and this just goes on. And this
and
goes
they even
on
imply
like...
they even imply at one point that Matthew McConaughey's getting turned on because he's kind of crossing his legs.
He puts his member. I have a thing here. I'm like Matthew McConaughey hard on cutaway. A cutaway that's put into this scene.
The most disturbing part was I suddenly going, I knew it was just happened. I'm like, okay,
don't tilt down.
And they tilted down to show the wet spot on Cusack's
leg
pants. I'm like, you didn't have to go there.
This
we
is
knew what happened.
Crazy. That's where I started to think. I'm like, this movie is like Sharknado. Like, it wants to be outrageous.
Yeah.
But even in being outrageous, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, this is where we're going with this?
What I thought was funny, too, about the scenes was they never actually showed the faces of the other people in the room, like, during the act. But they just show these kind of, like, long, like, four shots of everyone. And all of them are just, like, sitting in their chair, like, looking straight ahead. It's like they had, like, stand-ins, like, sit in those chairs during that scene.
Well, there was one awkward moment where McConaughey makes eye contact with John Cusack. Yeah. And what kind of, like, oh,
this guy looks at him, and like, he looks away.
No,
like,
I guess it's fair to say, like, where do you even, like, look? Like, what do you even do when if you're in a room with something like that's going on?
I feel like it was
the 60s, so you couldn't do that then, but I feel like I would just kind of, like, go on my phone and, like, check Facebook or something until it's over.
Yeah, I think I would have stood up or something, walked away, or...
I would have said, hey, this, what, we're trying to save your life here. Will you please keep the nasty stuff until the conjugal trailer visit?
Yeah. And then finally, like, the guards come in and they're like, hey! What is going on
We
here?
Said no touch. I mean, you're not touching, but still, stop it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why are the three of you watching them? Stop them. Do something.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey is like sweating bullets.
Yeah, I said the guard too. Like, what are the rest of
why,
you? And
why'd you call us? Let us know what's going on.
Yeah, it was funny now looking back at that movie after you know later about Matthew McConaughey. Maybe you kind of realize who.
It makes sense.
What someone else.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Well, that's why. And it's funny because when I was watching the scene, I was like, wait a minute, why is he getting hard on? He was looking at Cusack.
Yeah,
I realized later. I'm like, oh.
It's so. Well, and then.
Still, to be turned on by that.
I know.
It was really disgusting.
That's not exactly an attractive thing that you're watching, regardless of your orientation.
One of the biggest laughs I got in this movie, because they constantly pepper in voiceover from Macy Gray, kind of like explaining things that are going on. And they don't, they show you some things, but they feel the need to have her say it too. So shortly after this, there's like a VO of Macy Gray being like, right after that, Zac Efron came home and threw up.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You couldn't just show us that? You had to also give us like an audio cue to remind us?
We can show you the air oral sex scene and Cusack coming in his pants, but regurgitating, we have our limits.
Yeah.
Let's keep it clean, guys.
One of the best voiceovers, I hope you wrote it down, is coming up later on.
Oh, there's some amazing ones coming up.
There's that one where...
Yeah, I think I have that one, too.
I bet Macy Gray, when she got, like, those voiceover scripts, were like, what did I get myself into?
Well, some of them are very stilted, very, like, reading. I don't know if that's the way they wanted to play it, but some are very, like, I'm reading this off a of paper.
Yeah.
She's not really an actress. She's a singer.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the way they wanted to play it, too. I wasn't sure, but...
I don't know how anything they wanted to play. Anything. All of the creative choices are nuts in this. So then the reporters go on an interview with John Cusack's original lawyer, who's pretty uncooperative with
him. He's racist.
Oh, yeah. He's
their partner.
Oh, there's two characters, like Scott Glenn's wife and the original lawyer.
Well, it's getting to the point where I can't watch movies that take place in the 60s anymore because it's all just
about race.
Look, there's racism in the 60s.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, and like, you're like, you know, all dialogue written by Paula Deen, you know, or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty strong. And then there's also, like, at some point, they get, like, vaguely threatened by someone that they're going to have their thumbs cut off.
Well, that's what's...
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah, the clerk or the...
Yes,
that's great. Okay. I laughed because he's like, you know, yeah, the sheriff cut off the guy's thumb once, you know, and, you know, it's like, separates us from the primates. You know, you can't, your wife's titty, you can't really grab the nipple.
Well,
Wait, and what? That was like, part?
What?
Yeah, the quirk.
I completely blanked.
Yeah, this is the quirk's explanation for like why it's bad if your thumb cut off. I'm like, really? So the primary use of our thumbs is to grab women's breasts.
Right, to grab the wife's titty.
That's the number one. That's the number one thing you should keep in mind if someone's threatening to cut off your thumb.
That's like, why evolution has allowed us to keep our thumbs.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. We'll keep doing it.
Keep the women happy.
Yeah. And
why do women have thumbs then?
That's for another episode.
Yeah. No, I was like, wait a minute.
I'll
tell you later.
Okay, so then they go back. The reporters want to go back and talk to John Cusack again, and brilliantly bring Nicole Kidman with them again.
Mm-hmm. But this time wearing pants.
John Cusack, not a fan of pants.
Does not like pants.
He's pissed off.
Because men wear pants.
Men wear pants. Yeah.
And the funny thing about this, she doesn't see an abusive relationship here.
Oh, yeah.
This man that she saw for the first time the day before.
She's like, silly me, I shouldn't have worn pants.
Yeah, she's like, get out of here. He's like, get out of here.
You bitch.
Don't come here if you're wearing pants.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently he doesn't want black people or pants in the
pretty much.
Oh, my gosh, can you imagine if a black person wore pants?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And meanwhile, through this, like, it's becoming apparent that this movie is more centered on the Zac Efron character. Like this is kind of his movie.
It is, but they don't really play
well. It's like he's shoved into the other plot because the main emotional center of this film is Zac Efron has this inexplicable attraction to Nicole Kidman.
Right.
Yeah. And he falls in love with her, and he even makes his intentions known. And she's like, "Look, you don't want me." She even tells him, "She's like, look, I'm from the wrong side of town. I'm trashy. I'm twice your age." You know what I mean? You're young, you're hopeful, you've got a future, and he can't get this out of his mind. And Macy Gray's character feels sorry for him because she knows that it's because his mother left when he was very young and he needs a strong female presence.
We still don't know that.
This is the after-the-fact decompression of the character.
In a movie that was not as trashy, there's something interesting about like Zac Efron being like very attracted to like this clearly unstable woman, but it's done well. And now,
like, there's even scenes where he's envisioning her in a wedding dress. Like, it's clear that he's in a fantasy world.
So weird.
He's in this fantasy world where he sees her as this angel, and then they cut to her, and she's like, wiping the, the lip. She got too much lipstick, and she's wiping it off. She's sucking on a cigarette. She wears like a wig because her hair is really thin. So she wears this big hideous wig. She's not this angel that he sees.
And we're gonna now go into what I think probably is this movie's most famous scene.
The beach scene?
It has to be in the pantheon of the craziest scenes of any movie we have seen on this show.
No purpose,
but
I can see where they might have thought it had a purpose because it was put in the papers, but you could have done something different.
It's in the paper has no bearing to the plot.
No words for this, how nutty this was. Like, I was prepared for this. Like, I had read about this scene in reviews. And that's why I was like, okay, I know this is going to happen. I know it's going to be weird.
Yeah, but no, I knew too. And I think that was worse. Worse.
Wow.
I had no idea. And I was like, what the fuck?
So it starts with Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman sitting on a beach.
He's hitting on her, and
he's kind of hitting on her. She's rejecting him.
She's pointing to these other girls down the beach. She's like, you should go hit on those girls. They're your age.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want those girls.
I don't want them. And so then he's like, all right, I'm going to go for a swim. So he goes for a swim in the ocean.
He gets assaulted by like 47 jellyfish.
Yeah.
He keeps going underwater and screaming underwater, and he's surrounded by these things.
Yeah, it becomes like a jellyfish mob attack. Like Jellyfish Fight Club breaks out, and he's getting stung, and it's shot like a horror movie. Like, suddenly we dip into the realm of like a slasher film here, and then he kind of like pulls himself up on the beach, and everyone on the beach is like freaking out, and these girls, like younger girls, come running over, and they're like, I think he was stung by jellyfish, and urine urine can help alleviate the sting.
One of them actually like squats over him. I laugh so freaking hard because she like squats over him.
She's getting ready.
Yeah. And Nicole Kidman sees.
She's ready to go all in.
Yeah.
And now
she's like, "You're not gonna pee on him. I am.
I'm gonna give it. This is
anybody's gonna piss on him.
This is the best line I think we've had on the show.
It's gonna be me.
She says, "If anyone's gonna piss on him, it's going to be me. he doesn't like strangers peeing on him. Like, there's been a conversation earlier, like, hey, if anything comes up, I really don't want a stranger to be peeing on me. I'm much more comfortable with people I know peeing on me. Like, so if it comes to that, just
my brother, you, know, you like, Yardley.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's like my
John Cusick. You know, Maisie Gray's okay.
Yeah. You're,
so she like scares the girls away.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, get out of here. Yeah. And the girls are kind of like,
you don't want more urine. Wouldn't you want more urine?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. They imagine how they feel because they're seeing this guy who they've never seen before lying on the beach, writhing in agony because of jellyfish stain. And one of them's like, "I totally heard somewhere that you got to pee on it. Oh God, this is gross. But I think we got to do it because it hurts." And then all of a sudden, add to this chaotic, bizarre, and somewhat disgusting scene, a 40-year-old cougar runs up and says, "No, I'll piss on him." I imagine what they must be feeling, those girls.
I'll tell you what. Next time I'm at the ocean, I'm gonna pretend I got stung by a jellyfish.
That's something you want to happen to you? Is that what we're getting out of this?
You know what? Anyways. I hope that a bunch of dudes are around. And a bunch of dudes are like, "We'll help you out, buddy."
No, and he wakes up to four dicks in his face.
We're on you.
No, not that way.
Hold on. Let us alleviate the pain.
The forecast said it was going to be some challenge. Looks like he's
got stings on his face.
Hold on. Don't worry. It won't sting so bad in a minute,
in
sir.
That moment when they're the chicks over there.
Only your pride will sting.
In that moment, I would have liked it.
How could that?
Yeah.
We gotta check his whole body to make sure there's no stings in his other regions.
Yeah.
So then Nicole Kidman squats and starts urinating on him, and they stick with it for like
they stuck with
30
it
seconds. Yeah, yeah. They show the stream.
Yeah, we get like there's like different angles. There's like focus effects. They're really
little rack focus from the ocean to the stream.
No. I wonder who played Nicole Kidman's peen double in this.
I think they just had like a tube with water in it that they were squirting down.
But they showed like her.
I think it was her. She's like that.
Like okay.
Oh,
you ever see Eyes Wide Shut?
No.
Nicole Kidman is known for being one of these daring actresses. Yeah, she's like done nude on stage and things like that. She is known for being a little shocking.
Yeah.
But not this tastelessly shocking.
No, yeah.
And this scene, shocking, but then there's tastelessly shocking.
She did do the movie. So.
Well, we then also she's done go good movies. To the, my second favorite line we've ever had on this show, which Zac Efron is like groggy. He's like waking up at home and he's like, Macy Gray is kind of like helping him and he's all groggy. He's like, "Oh, I smell awful." And Macy Gray's like, "Well, that's because that blonde lady peed all over your face." So there you go.
A couple of other girls are going to pee on you, but she said, "No, you don't like that."
And it's covered in the paper. It's in the front page story in the
and
paper.
And hit the AP like, wire. Yeah, like, Yardley's like, "Hit the AP wire. This is all over." And what?
Like, now, local boy stung by jellyfish, woman pees on face. It's like the headline.
That's in the New York Times.
Like, in the paper that's run by his father.
I know. Like, his dad's like, "You know what? Let's kill that story. We're good." You know,
I think you said in the paper, too, is stung on face, back, and genitals.
Yes. Yeah, genitals. It does say that. It does say that. Yeah.
Why'd you throw that in there?
There was no purpose for this.
I don't. So Zac Efron is so upset that this embarrassing thing has happened to him that he gets in a fight with Yardley.
And he calls him the N-word.
Calls him the N-word.
But nowhere in the movie do you get the sense that Zac Efron is racist.
No.
Wait, you know what? You know what I thought I heard in the scene before? And I could have been wrong. I thought he used that word when he was asking for chopsticks.
He did.
Didn't he?
He did.
I didn't think it was him in that scene.
I think he was picking on his stepmother when he said that.
I think he was fooling around.
Like,
still,
she says, "I can't eat chicken with a fork," and Macy Gray's like, "But it's chicken. You eat it with your hands." And she's implying, "Well, I'm a wealthy white person. I don't eat chicken with my fingers."
House, in your house, you might do that.
So
not here.
In your house, you might do that. So I think Zac Efron was picking on the mother, his stepmother, by saying,
"Oh yeah, he's still saying."
Yeah, because there's this whole subplot of that Zac Efron's new like stepmother is crazy racist, which never really goes anywhere.
Well, plus there's a subplot with Macy Gray's voiceover about how, I think before that, how Zac Efron was concerned, he didn't understand the relationship with Yardley and his brother.
Yes.
So there's kind of see some tension there, but they don't ever really play that. None of this tension's ever played up. It's never played up like, "Oh, yeah, he's having some, you know, issues with his brother liking this guy and maybe he's taking time away from him," but it's never really played up until the scene where it kind of like comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it does come out of nowhere.
And it's just covered from a voiceover earlier.
Yeah.
So
they get in a fight And then
he throws out the N-word, and Macy Gray overhears him.
Yeah.
And now he feels guilty.
But
again, that adds up to nothing either.
Well, it's kind of resolved later in the film, but not really.
It doesn't matter to the plot. Right. It's a nice little character scene, but it doesn't work. It's just them being like,
"There's racism." I've never seen
more. We got to show the racism.
Well, but it's also, I mean, that's actually to me some of the more interesting stuff in the movie, but it's not handled in like a meaningful way.
Right, because the movie's not about that. That's the thing.
I don't know what this movie really is not about anything. There's like so many dead end plots in this movie. There's like 8 different things that lead nowhere.
Right. Yeah, you could argue 8 people had different
ideas,
and they
said, let's put all these ideas together.
Yeah. So now they go back to...
This was based on a book, though. I actually would be kind of curious to see if the book maybe...
Oh, God.
Fair Game was also based on a book.
The book is like the back of a cereal box or something. Like. So now they finally get to do an interview with John Cusack where information is exchanged.
Right, and you know why? Because Nicole Kidman isn't there.
Now they're like, you know what, third time's the charm.
It's just McConaughey and Cusack.
And he's kind of not into it, too. He's like, oh, God, it's just you guys? All right, fine. We'll talk about my life and death. Jeez.
All right, I guess I didn't kill that guy. Yeah. Here's the evidence.
And he goes, he says that he didn't kill the sheriff because he was stealing grass from a golf course
with his
that
uncle.
Night with his uncle.
Like sod for some reason.
Sod. You know, like they were bringing it to like a new condo development. And we now get one of the other great Macy Gray voiceovers in this movie where Macy Gray comes in a voiceover and says, all right, stay with me now.
She says this gets complicated
because
here.
This is when it gets tricky.
Yeah, tricky.
I'm
yeah.
like, no kidding. Right, yes. No kidding. When your movie needs to say to you, hey, buckle up. You know, like.
Stick with us.
Yeah.
Because she describes something that's never not shown.
Well, she says what's his name? Ward? Ward yeah. sent.
Ward is Matthew
Yardley. Yardley, yeah. Yardley and Jack went
Yardley
to check out.
Whatever her name
Charlotte.
Is.
Charlotte. Yardley and Charlotte went to check out.
Yeah. And which she said it's over a car driving, so which I thought it was them driving, but no, it's actually Ward and Efron in the car. Right.
Which leads me to believe that they probably forgot about it, and then a test audience was confused, and they said, oh, well, we should add that in.
Yeah, that definitely looks like a late ADR ad.
Yeah.
So Yardley and Nicole Kidman are, because of course, if you're looking into complicated business filings and contracts and, you know, city clerk kind of stuff, you're going to have Nicole Kidman, who's completely trashy and was pantomiming oral sex in the prison. You're going to have her work on that. Well, Matthew McConaughey and Zac Efron now are going splashing around in the swamp to talk to John Cusack's uncle, who apparently lives in a Rob Zombie movie, from what I could tell. Another plot thread that goes nowhere.
But this is where another plot thing comes up.
He's got these bizarre, like, he's got all these, like, topless women in the barn that he lives in.
They got them trudging through the swamp and trudging through the swamp, and all of a sudden it cuts to a shot of him sitting, and he's like,
yeah.
You know where mom is. Where'd this come from?
It does. It's
so weird.
All of a sudden, we got to throw the mom in there somehow. Okay, let's do it here.
And
but they do it in such a jammed-in way.
The journey they go through to get to the uncle's house, like Lewis and Clark. It's like a scene from
Deliverance.
Yeah. I mean, Matthew McConaughey looks like he has been through a war. And by the time
Why
they get to
the
uncle's driveway.
He wears like a suit to go wading through the swamp.
Yeah, it didn't change. No. He just wanted to get right there, I guess.
Yeah. The uncle's house is filled with these weird characters and weird, like... Again, it's very like Devil's Rejects. Is like
I thought
it's
we were
like
watching
another
like
crew
pink
is
flamingos.
Yeah,
they kill alligators and skin them. And I guess that's how they survive.
But that's how they make the money.
Sure.
They sell the skin.
Sure, sounds good. Yeah,
I guess business ain't too good. Well, they do have ice cream.
Yeah, what was
that? Yeah, it's this bizarre tub of ice cream that he's
eating. Yeah, what was... I was...
Yeah. Do they have electricity? What was going on with that? Because if they have electricity...
And then this woman...
Wait,
with...
what? Just like the chronology of things was they go there. He's like skinning an alligator. They ask him like for information. He's basically like, F off.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they're just kind of standing here while he walks in the house.
Right.
And then a bunch of like topless inbred women come out. And then they cut to the... uncle sitting in a chair eating ice cream.
Telling them everything that they asked him.
I know.
And he's all of a sudden cooperating with them.
Now he cooperates, right.
This was...
What was...
But then he cooperates, and he's like, oh, I've talked enough. Billy Bob here is going to bash you in with his baseball bat.
Then he walks up with a baseball bat. Then it jump cuts, and wow, those people were weird. They're just trudging through the swamp.
Do you know what it reminded me of? Some of you guys will get this. When you're playing a video game that has, like, when you have to, like, interview a character or, like, talk to a character, and the only...
And then it doesn't go well the first time, and then you're just kind of sitting there until you try again.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of dialogue programmed in, so once the characters run out of things to say to you, like, they everything's just like, you gotta get out of here. You gotta go. Time for you to go. Like, that was all it had.
I just didn't understand why he told him to F off, and then the next scene is he's in a rocking chair eating a giant tub of ice cream. Okay, I guess he's just going about his day.
That's right. Southern hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah. And then ice cream, I can talk to you now.
It was just like the ice cream suddenly made him reflect, and he was like, all right, I'll talk now.
Yeah.
Oh, you got ice cream? All right, I'll talk. Now, did Matthew McConaughey give him the ice cream? Was that, like, did they have that in a pack as they walked through the sweltering swamp?
I don't know.
As a peace offering?
And when he was, and he said, do you want some of this ice cream? Was he talking to Matthew McConaughey and Zac Efron?
I think so.
But Zac Efron was, like, 30 feet away, like, like he was nervous. So he told them to F off
and then offered them ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then gave them information.
Yeah.
And then force them off the property.
And then, yeah.
And then force them off the property.
And pop their tires, too.
I think it actually...
Yeah, and slash the tires.
Because, okay, now, wait. This actually happens in the movie. They walk through the swamp. They make it to the car. Zac Efron goes, ah, crap. The tire's deflated. Next scene, Matthew McConaughey is wet and dirty as if he's been crawling through the swamp and he's on the phone. Zac Efron comes in wearing Yardley's clothes.
In the garage.
Yeah. And says, dude, why'd you leave me at the hotel?
Right.
What?
Yeah, I was confused by that too.
What?
Yeah.
How did
what happen?
Heavy cutscene.
Was that a week later?
It was literally like they were at the car.
They're at the car.
They see that the slash tires and Zac Efron's like, oh man. And then it cuts to him walking into the garage going, what the F, man? You left me behind.
I was like, no. I feel like there should have been a Macy Gray voiceover.
Yeah, where was
being
that
like,
voiceover?
Some stuff happened.
Stick with us here.
and then Yardley comes in and he's like, get out of my clothes. And he says, all right. So he strips down to his skivvies and goes outside in the rain.
So much Zac Efron in his tidy whiteys in this movie.
And he sits with Nicole Kidman and they have a little touching moment where they start dancing in the rain.
It wasn't really touching.
Yeah.
Well, it was touching going on, but...
Well, yeah, and again...
It's kind of like, how mean I'm not going to blow you, but I'll dance with you.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
blow you, but I'll dance with you and grind against you. Well, that's really nice. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that.
In a better movie where that was like they were kind of exploring the psychology of this and these deep characters, maybe that would have. But as a bizarre subplot in a crazy thriller, this is like, what is happening? Like, what am I looking at? So, and right in here, by the way, too, just to bring Scott Glenn back into the movie.
Oh, thank God.
There's a scene out of nowhere where Scott Glenn, they're all just sitting around. Cause I've been wondering who this woman with Scott Glenn is. I just assumed it was Zac Efron's mom or his, but then they're like, no, his mom is gone. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is Scott Glenn's wife. So then all of a sudden, Scott Glenn announces, he goes, I just want you to know I'm naming Ellen editor-in-chief. And we're getting married. Like, both of those things. Like, what?
Like, oh, wow.
She's at the paper, too? Like,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay,
yeah,
I figured when she was that. Giving him foot massages already, at his desk, that was his wife.
I thought she was already the stepmom, you know?
I don't know
At first,
why.
I thought she was the mom.
Why was that even a plot beat? What did that have? Did that advance anything?
Because he gave her... His ring. Mother's
oh,
ring.
Oh, you're right. But you're still, right.
Oh, he needed to find Nicole the ring. Kidman. He needed to find his mother's ring because he wanted to give it to Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
And then she had it.
Still could have been married already. And it wouldn't hurt, you know, the movie wouldn't have been any better or any worse either.
No, wouldn't have really changed things.
Right.
Yeah. And then it kind of comes out that Nicole Kidman had slept with Yardley to get Yardley to believe her story. Stay with me now.
Which they already do.
Yeah, which they already do, by the way.
Yes.
They already moved up into a garage to investigate this case. I think she has them hooked.
Yeah. But now, because Nicole Kidman slept with Yardley, Matthew McConaughey starts getting suspicious of Nicole. Only now is Matthew McConaughey suspicious of Nicole Kidman.
And we don't
Kidman.
Know to what extent these guys know each other in the first place. Like, did they just meet before this? Like, were they just assigned together? Or have they been friends or colleagues for years?
Well, I think they kind of imply that they
were
worked
good.
Together.
They were fishing buddies.
Yeah.
I think well, we find out later on there's something else going on.
Well, like, why is... So Matthew McConaughey just now is suspicious of Nicole Kidman. We've watched her cause havoc in a prison twice that wasn't a red flag for him, but oh no, she slept with my writing partner. I think now I'm wary of any information from her. So they so he decides to go down to Miami to check on this whole John Cusack selling grass from a golf course alibi
to a shady developer. Yeah.
So he goes down to Miami with.
That's not Miami, though, is it?
I don't.
No, because Yardley goes back to Miami.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. It's not Miami. It's like West Palm or somewhere like that. So, but again, inexplicably,
he
takes Nicole Kidman with him and Zac Efron.
Right. And they don't show them like in investigating at all. They're just in a bar.
Yeah,
so this is where the movie just
I got confused too because I thought because they're in the bar and
the
McConaughey's
tone of the film
like,
is about to take a dramatic change.
Let me tell you this. I can tell you exactly why all of you are confused. Because none of you are a freaking lunatic. This movie makes no sense.
Well,
because
I thought he's going to try to get information out of her. Is he going to take the black guys and have, you know, scare somehow? I mean,
I thought the black guys were like a ball.
Let's explain this a little bit. Yeah, so Matthew McConaughey, while Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron are having some kind of super awkward conversation.
Like they have been the whole movie.
Matthew McConaughey is going over and talking.
Well, he's like kind of staring at him.
Kind of staring at some black guys who are kind of staring at him.
He walks over.
Yeah, he walks over and we don't hear the conversation, but he's talking to them and you're kind of thinking like, oh, he's trying to get information.
That's what I thought.
He's trying to use them somehow to scare Nicole Kidman to tell him the truth. Because he said before they went down, I'm going to find out the truth from her.
Yeah.
And then he didn't really do anything. He's talked to her at the bar. Come on, what's the truth? Come on, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I'm going to go over here.
So then cut to Zac Efron.
He's having a dream.
He's having a dream in his hotel.
Oh, no. He's having a dream dream about Yardley and...
Naked.
And Nicole Kidman having sex.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and she's pounding on the door. Something's wrong in your brother's room.
How she knows? Who knows?
And who knows?
Who knows?
So he runs in and looks
through
the window.
By the way, understatement of the year.
Something's wrong.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
She looks through the window and Matthew McConaughey is chained to the floor.
He is hogtied.
No, he's hogtied
on a sheet of plastic.
Completely naked.
Bloody, like blood everywhere.
There's a black guy sitting in a chair in the corner, in his underwear, like looking exhausted.
And the other guy's fully dressed, sitting there.
Watching.
Chilling out. I mean,
I honestly still thought at this point, like, okay, something went wrong with him pressing for information.
Right. Yeah. I did too.
Because I didn't really. Yeah. But,
they're pressing for something.
Yeah. And so, you know, Zac Efron's trying to get in, even though, like, the guys in the room are just sitting there, like, they're totally cool. It's like they're watching, Thursday night, like, must-see TV. Like, they're not freaked out at all. But Zac Efron has to break the window to get in.
And then one of them just walks away. He's just looking at Nicole Kidman like, okay, I'll be seeing you. I'm all done here.
Hey, catch you next week. You know.
Same time, same place, different room.
Well, then, it's like the craziest thing. Zac Efron's like yelling. He's like, Where's the keys? What's the plastic for?
What's the plastic for?
Are you selling TDS? Are you selling TDS?
His brother's face has been like deformed by getting beaten, and he's like, naked, hogtied with handcuffs.
Why are you
what the plastic is for?
Well, it's for blood.
Why is he focusing on that?
It's for blood and semen, all right?
His brother's about to die. He doesn't have someone happen. What's the plastic for?
Can we also say that right after the scene is done, Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman walk back into their hotel room and sit down in the bed, and they're like,
Well, hold on. Well, because her first line is, so that, like, the paramedics come, and they're Zac Efron, and they, you know, they take him away in an ambulance, they come back. Nicole Kidman's first line is, he's going to be fine.
He looked terrible.
Whatever was going on in there, he is not fine.
There was literally 5 gallons of blood on that plastic sheet. They showed Matthew McConaughey looking at Zac Efron. He couldn't talk. His eyes, like, his one eye was, like, out of its socket, basically. He may not be fine.
And instead of going to the hospital and being with his brother during this traumatic time, he decides to sleep with Nicole Kidman.
I might get lucky.
This is crazy. And Nicole Kidman's like, all right.
Fine, to warm me down.
She
comes back to bed and Zac Efron's like sprawled out, like posing like George in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I'm
going to use my brother's misfortune to my gain.
That's where you get that great Macy Gray voice.
Yeah, did you write that down? Did you write them?
I don't have to show you what happens next. She says something. I didn't write down, but it's something like, I think you've seen all of this.
Yes, once again.
I don't want to show you this, or you don't want to see
this. Before that, though, she's like, it's awkward to be talking when you're watching this. And then she's like, but it's awkward that they're doing it anyways. And then and then she's like, all right, that's enough of that.
Because this is this movie, which is like had no problem showing like pantomimed oral sex, golden showers, but it's like, ooh, a sex scene between Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman. You know what? We're not going to go there.
You wouldn't want to see that.
That's
where we draw
that's
the
a
line.
Bridge too
Vomit
far.
Vomit and consensual sex. It's just out of the question here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're saying Matthew McConaughey rape scene.
They're saying
Was that consensual? They honestly never say. Like, is he into the violent sex? I don't know. Well, they never clarify.
But they're saving the sex scene for the John Cusack.
The Matthew McConaughey thing, we're just supposed to think that it was like S&M sex and it went too far.
Does this mean
this happens often? He gets
earlier in the movie he had scars from some other time.
I guess that's why the other guys are leaving totally casually, like, because
this is what he wants.
You know, all right.
He's into the getting the
he has a reputation.
He's interested in getting like almost killed.
Not a good night until he ends up in the hospital.
I want to know what he said to the two guys in the bar. So he's sitting at the bar with Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman, and he says, I'm going to find out the truth. And then he walks over to these two black guys. I wonder what he said.
Yeah,
like,
he gave up
on
that.
Do you want to beat the crap out of me and rape me at the same time? Yeah. Okay. What did he say to them?
Yeah, what was Matthew McConaughey's plan? He went all the way down there to investigate those things, and then it just turned into like a sex binge of...
Right, because even Zac Efron, he says, what's he doing? We got like 50 things to do now.
Yeah.
You know, what's he doing? We got all this stuff to do. And he's like...
Like, honestly, what was he
near death. And so then, okay.
And
so,
then that would just, then like Matthew McConaughey was like done after that.
Well, because I was still, at this point, I'm still confused. Like Brian said, was this something that went terribly wrong and they just like totally effed him up? Or
luckily we have that voiceover.
But then you get that voiceover from Mason Gray that goes, I can't remember, what's Zach after?
Jack. His name.
Jack didn't mind that Ward was a homosexual, just that he didn't tell him. And I was like, oh, I guess he's a homosexual. I guess that was...
Like, boy, did he find out.
Jack didn't mind that his brother was into violent S&M sex. He just really wished he had spoken with him about it first.
You know what? We still don't know.
It's quite the coming out.
Dude, just let me know. That's all.
It's
okay. Like, just, you know, a little heads up would have been nice.
Could you just tell me what that plastic was?
He's on the ground
for?
Bleeding.
By the way, I just wish you would tell me about the plastic, bro.
I need to know what the plastic was for.
Why is the air conditioning not on in the room?
So now Zac Efron tries to take the lead on the John Cusack investigation.
Despite the fact that he's just a paper
boy.
He goes to Yardley because Yardley's going to release the act.
This is, as I call, the Something About Mary scene.
Yes.
Yeah. And he goes to Yardley and he's like...
I said that earlier. It was Something About Mary.
Yeah. And he's like, oh,
Tucker.
He's like, so, I don't know. He basically says to Yardley, he's like, blah, blah, blah.
He says, Ward wants to see the article before he publish it because he wants to make sure you got to get your facts straight. And he's like, oh, you know, this happened. And Jack goes, that's not the truth. And then Yardley gets all gangsta and he's like, you want to know about the mother effing truth? Yeah. You thought I was from London, didn't you?
Oh, you got to be a James Bond motherfucker to be a reporter and up there.
They're not.
I'm not from London.
I'm from Ireland.
Dublin, Ireland. Apparently, in order for a black person to work at the newspaper, he has to be English, because that's what he's implying.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, and then out of nowhere, he goes, I got drunk once and let Ward suck my dick.
Now he likes black dick.
What's going on? I know.
And he's like, I got work to do. I got to go. He goes back into his...
That's
the best explanation of the relationship ever. Like, just like that. He got drunk once and he sucked my dick. Next thing I know, we're writing stories together.
Like, are you kidding me, movie?
How all great careers in journalism start. You get drunk, you suck a guy's dick, and you're writing for the Miami Herald.
Holy cow. Oh my God.
Remember Zac Efron? He just went like one day from like this thing in his brother was like some normal guy who writes for the paper to being into S&M homosexual sex with like bondage and getting like basically raped and into the hospital, into the ER, near-death experiences every time he has sex. And
Yeah.
His writing partner is someone he was
romantically involved with. If I'm Zac Efron, I'd be like, my God, why did I drain the college pool? That was a terrible mistake. Damn. This has really set my life down a bad road.
When you think about it, I was like, when you're talking about something about Mary, I was totally thinking then that it's so similar to that because the Tucker guy in that movie feigned a British accent to get closer to Mary, right. And he was like doing this British accent, was into Nicole Kidman, who Zac Efron was also into.
Yeah.
So weird. Weird.
Wait, what was Nicole Kidman's name in this movie?
Charlotte.
There's something about Charlotte.
There's something about Charlotte. That's a good title. If we were titling episodes, that was what we should title this one.
If only Brett Favre was in the movie.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Start naming the episodes. Yeah, there's something about Charlotte.
So then, okay, so John Cusack gets out of jail.
Well,
off
camera. Yeah, yeah. Somehow his article exonerates him and he's just let out like that.
How? So you can write something in Miami Herald and all of a sudden the governor goes, oh, I just read this great article. Get that guy out of jail.
Yeah.
What was really, even in the article? What information did they get?
Right.
I don't,
Because last I saw, Matthew McConaughey was trying to get the truth, then he ended up ass-raped in a hospital, and somehow they got all the information they needed.
Yardley talked to Nicole Kidman, and then he wrote it up, and So he's out. So Nicole Kidman marries John Cusack.
Well, first...
Well, wait, you're skipping every...
Wow,
you skipped
the movie there. What skipped his favorite scene.
The frame of the...
He shows up at the house.
I'm sure John Cusack looked at the script and said, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
I see what you're saying.
They're like, hey, John, look at page 82. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm in.
What do you mean 82?
I'm in.
I think you mean 82 through 86, I think is what you mean.
Yeah, there is like... It's a 5-minute scene.
There must have been like 10 pages of italics.
If you aren't uncomfortable enough watching this movie...
Yeah, we can't show the Zac Efron Nicole Kidman sex scene.
But this one, go at it, guys.
We can show a scene...
Oh, my God. Yeah, again, how the maid know about this?
The detail... So it's basically a rape. John Cusack raping Nicole Kidman...
But she's into it.
Including a forced tossed salad, which somehow was really the most disturbing aspect for me.
At least you returned the favor.
Yeah, that was really uncomfortable. And you know what it's funny like 6 minutes long.
You know what I mean? Funny is if they went back like Saw style, you know, how they like go back at the end and then they show like all these scenes, but they show something you didn't see. They go back and show all the scenes like Macy Gray like peeping through the window and like all these things that she was really there for all of them.
Yeah.
Right, no, nobody really seems to notice the help.
Da-na-na.
They do that bizarre thing
where... Game over!
Going in, and also there's a shot of them eating. And he's like, "Do you really love me?"
Yeah.
It goes back to
the
owner to wash the machine and all. He's like, "Dun, dun, 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 dun.
Yo, did you mix the whites and colors again?
Yeah.
My undershirt's all pink."
What the hell?
It shows them doing mundane things.
Did you get more milk?
So crazy. This is at the point I have a note on my sheet that just says like, so this is all just dumb. Yeah, like, this is all just, like, this is not, the thriller aspect isn't adding up to anything. The whatever, like, coming of age story isn't adding up to anything.
No brother's relationships.
Yeah,
that's not
coming. None of these plot threads.
The mother, stepmother stuff, not gone.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Because basically, so John Cusack says, okay, you're moving to the swamp. And Nicole Kidman says, I don't want to move to the swamp.
I don't want to move to the swamp.
And then Macy Gray says, so she moved to the swamp.
So she moved to the swamp.
That was it.
And then she pulls a Joe Bluth and writes a letter to Zac Efron.
Well, she writes a
letter. I've made a huge mistake.
Yes!
She sneaks a letter to a friend who somehow gets this like movie flash forwards,
wedding.
A couple of months to the wedding of Scott Glenn and his racist stepmom. And Anita sees Zac Efron. He goes to see her, and she's like, oh, you know what? This letter arrived at the house from like a month ago from that blonde lady.
By the way, your father fired me too for some reason.
Yeah, and I'm fired, and everyone in this town is racist.
But I'm still cooking for the wedding.
Yeah, but I'm still cooking here. And
Zac Efron's like, what? No!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No!
Here's that letter we wanted to give you.
She said somebody didn't want him to see it, though.
I think it was his stepmother, maybe.
Yeah, he didn't want you to see it or something like that.
Or maybe it was Ward, I don't know.
Something like that. So,
is Ward conscious yet? Oh, yeah.
No, Ward's at the wedding.
Yeah,
he's wearing an eye
patch. He got in the shower.
They had the shower scene.
That really awkward.
That bizarre drunk sitting on the toilet scene. And for a second, I thought, after the pee scene, I thought, is Zac Efron watching Matthew McConaughey take a dump right now? Just because this movie reached a point where I was just not...
Yeah. Well, everybody's watching everyone do everything, as we learned from
Macy. And one of the wedding guests, funny... one of the wedding guests hinted to Matthew McConaughey that she knew what went on. You remember it?
She's like, yeah.
Well, I heard that, you know, and he's like, it was all true.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no.
He pulled like a pinky in the brain. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Where he tells him he's like, gonna dominate the world, and they believe it because it's so crazy.
Yeah. And
Matthew kind of is wearing an eye patch now.
Yes. Yeah, because that eye is messed up, man.
Yeah, I think she says, I heard what happened, you were okay, and he said, you should see the other guy, and he started laughing.
Yeah, he walked out of the room, he was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine. Actually, you should see the other guy. He was fine. Yeah.
I'm going to see him next week.
He had a pleasant night.
I'm going to have two eye patches.
Yeah. So then, all of a sudden, Zac Efron reads the letter, and he's like, I got to go to the swamp. And then Matthew McConaughey is like, interestingly enough, funny you say that, I too need to go to the swamp. Right. And they're both like, okay.
Oh my God.
But he says, I'm gonna go tomorrow morning. So why don't we just wait till tomorrow morning? And Zac Efron's like, no, I'm going out tonight. He's all drunk. And
well, then Matthew McConaughey pulls a Joe Bluth too, because he's like, yeah, that alibi may not have held up. He might actually, John Cusack might actually have been the murderer in real life. Yeah. We may have just released a murderer back into the public.
Yeah.
So they go down to visit John Cusack in the swamp. And can we also talk about when they first get in a boat? Because now they're going to
take a boat. Why don't they just take a freaking boat?
It's so close.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's creepy.
It's really creepy.
Especially since
this turns into like a comedy. It's like a brother romp through the swamp.
Yeah, because there's plenty of room on the boat. And the two of them
Zac Efron's like drunk and they're like...
But they're like both back by the engine, like draped over one another.
That was a really weird
shot,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the first thing I thought. It's like, why is he like leaning up against him like a lover?
It almost felt like it was like a joke shot that they got for like the gag reel and then...
I thought that too. I'm like, and then they used it.
Well, yeah, because he's all serious because like he thinks Nicole Kidman's life is in danger, and then literally for like a 2-minute period when they're on this boat going through the swamp to the house,
he's all getting drunk.
Like it's like, oh, they're reminiscing, brothers reunited again, drinking a bottle of Jack on the way.
They're going to take on who they now believe is a murderer that they've let out of jail, and they're completely unarmed. They don't bring a police officer with them.
Well, when they show up, when they actually get to the house, you know, John Cusack.
And where's the skinny guy in his harem of weird inbred women now?
I think this is a different house.
The house is all of a sudden empty?
Yeah, it's a different
house. I think it's a different house. Okay.
They all just live
although
somewhere.
That is also not swamp. Well established.
Yeah. How they know where this house is, who knows?
Well, because when they're at the other guy's uncle's house, he's like, yeah, he lives down that way. So they
need it's easy to find.
Here's what you want to do.
That way,
two cricks over and three bends of the swamp. If you see a broken down school bus, turn there.
Right at the dog leg, take a right.
So they show up to John Cusack's house. He's
Well, before that, while they're still riding, they go, they cut to the house, and Charlotte's like, I'm going to the wedding. And he's like, you're not going to the wedding. And she's like, I'm going to the wedding. He's like, I want to screw you again or something. And then it cuts back to them riding up, and then they arrive.
It's all off
and
camera,
she's
so
just,
you know
she's sitting
up.
In a chair and her nose is bleeding, but she's dead. And it's like, oh, I guess that kind of went poorly.
Yeah, because she shouldn't have said she wanted to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
Lesson to women everywhere. Don't say you want to go to weddings.
Well, it's kind of like
and it would have been distasteful because she would have showed up late.
Yeah.
It didn't. Yeah, really late.
You never show up 3 hours late to a wedding.
Yeah.
And it didn't show him.
Bitch.
It didn't show him like beating her or hitting her or pushing her over
or
anything.
Pulling a knife out or anything.
I still wasn't convinced even until a couple minutes later that she was dead. Yeah, maybe she was just sitting there, and then I'm like, oh,
like
no,
she just
must
like she had
be
just
dead.
Been beaten up really bad, and she was just kind of like zoned out.
So they pull up. The brother McConaughey and Zac Efron pull up, and they're like, you know, Hillary, and he's like, what do you want? Just wanted to say hello.
Just wanted to say hi.
They just check it in.
Just wanted to say hello. I'm like, what? What? So they realize things are going horribly wrong.
Just wanted to say hello.
Just wanted to say hello. You know, we've been through a lot. You know,
you might be a psycho killer, and neither
skipped
of us are.
Skipped out on our parents' wedding real quick.
I felt really bad. I felt really bad in this fight scene coming up. Between Matthew McConaughey and John Cusack because his depth perception is just screwed.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he's going to win this.
Yeah.
Blackbeard was okay.
Yeah. Zac Efron's like, you killed Nicole Kidman.
Yeah,
I know you killed her.
I bet John Cusack's like, crap, how did he know that?
Yeah, like he deduces this.
It's amazing.
He's like, I want to see her. She's in there. I want to see her. You can't see her. You killed her!
Yeah. And so then
everybody sees everything in this movie.
Everybody knows everything.
It's a very clairvoyant
and
film.
Apparently, Macy Gray's watching it right now too. Yeah. So
Macy Gray's in a helicopter with binoculars.
Oh no!
So then John Cusack comes out with
he's got a machete.
A machete, And
Ward picks up an axe.
Yeah.
And he tells...
This is like Jack an armory run, in this run. Swamp. You got a machete? I'll just pick up this axe!
Yeah. He tells Jack to run, and he does like a really poor move where he swings at
yeah, this was
Hillary,
a
and he completely misses, and then Hillary just like grabs him from behind with a machete and goes, is this what you wanted? And like slits his throat.
I'm telling you, he has no depth perception. He's got an eye patch.
Yeah, axe a really poor weapon in that situation.
You basically
yeah.
have one yeah, good shot at it, right. and if you miss, you're done.
Yeah.
So now John Cusack goes after Zac Efron.
Yeah, he slits Ward's throat and runs after
chasing.
Efron.
Yeah. I wasn't sure who was chasing who at one point.
I wasn't sure if they were
this,
in a pool or not.
That
was really weird.
At some point, I'm like, wait, they're in a pool?
At one point, Zac Efron's in a tree.
Yeah. No, then all of a sudden, it's nighttime.
Brian's right. This had a very cold light of day sort of like, who is chasing who here? Yeah.
At first, Zac Efron runs away from him, and then he's like somehow up in a tree. And John Cusack's walking behind him. I'm like, okay, he's going to get the jump on him and like take him down. No, he just watches him walk away.
So then he's back in the water.
He jumps into the water.
And at one point, he doesn't... At one point for... And this is not to be sarcastic and funny. Can someone explain... Zac Efron swims up to John Cusack's boat.
Yeah, he's like hiding behind
And he's like hiding behind the boat.
And
I thought he was going to grab him and
throw
him.
Yes!
And then they show an alligator in the background.
And
there's actually a cutaway shot of an alligator.
They do. They also introduce the threat of an alligator, which is never delivered on.
Yep.
Or why he went up to the boat and then just swims away. I don't understand.
And they cut to shots of him in a swimming pool to remind the audience he's a good swimmer.
He's a swimmer. He can hold his breath a long time.
He swam away from him.
When he jumped in the water, I'm like, did they establish that he can hold his... I'm like, oh, that's right. He was a swimmer. I'm like, that's why they did that whole thing.
And then they did,
like Jack said, they showed these slow motion shots of him swimming in the pool.
Like we were idiots and didn't remember this. Yeah.
Mixed with shots of him swimming in the water and the swamp.
I started making notes on my sheet of things I wanted Macy Gray to say in voiceover. And one of those is like, Jack realized he couldn't empty out the swamp like he did the college pool. You know?
So you see him with like a bucket, like taking the swamp water and throwing it onto land.
But then it's the next day, all of a sudden.
Yeah, John Cusack gives up.
They were billing this as some big like confrontation.
Yep.
And like Alex is right. Like, why did he swim up to his boat? Like they made it look like, okay, Zac Efron once again has the jump on John Cusack,
right?
And he's gonna swim up to his boat and throw him into the swamp, and the alligator's going to come and eat him Captain Hook style.
Right. I thought we were totally in a Captain Hook scenario. Yeah, I did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they cut from Zac Efron like looking up at him to like the next day, and it's like, Hillary was eventually arrested for the murders of Nicole Kidman and the sheriff.
What? Then they shoot Zac Efron's on that.
So
he's on John Cusack's boat with their dead bodies.
The bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So John Cusack's just kind of like, draping his head down.
Like, how's there any evidence?
Yeah, how did
that?
He get on the... Wait, I didn't even think about that. How did he get control of the boat?
He must have swam back to...
He must have swam
back to land, grabbed the bodies, hid them.
This is an elaborate plan.
Waited until Cusack got back. Cusack went into the house, and then he stole the boat and put the bodies on the boat.
I didn't even think about that.
That is so dumb. Yeah. What a dumb plan.
Why didn't and they just have a fight at the end that he killed him? Why?
That's what you're waiting for.
Yeah.
And then it wraps up.
You know what? They must have had footage of that. Because they must have... This had to be, like, tinkered in editing, or they must have,
It'd be like if Bane and, like, Batman at the end of Dark Knight Rises, like, went to confront each other, and then, like, they punched Bane or something, and then, like, the next scene, like, Bane was arrested for the murder of 2,500 citizens of Gotham. Like, what? I thought there was a big confrontation coming.
Batman never got over it.
And then they wrap it all up by Macy Gray saying, nobody ever knew who killed Sheriff whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to...
Yeah, they never
and Zach never forgot his one true love.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was going to be some homosexual thing, because I don't know if you remember in the first scene... They showed the sheriff, like, shining a flashlight into a car of two people having sex.
Yes.
And you could only see, like, one male figure.
Yes.
So I thought, like, oh, it must be, like, so he must have seen some gay people having sex, and the guy didn't want the sheriff to spread the word that he was gay, so he killed him.
Right.
I thought that was going to be,
I thought so, too. Why
maybe Matthew McConaughey.
Because, like, everyone was gay in this movie, basically.
Yeah, why did they show
us... Like, half the characters were gay.
Why did they show us that scene of the teenagers in the car if it had nothing to do with the sheriff's death? I can't believe I'm still trying to make sense of this nonsense movie.
Like I said,
I've never seen so many dead end things in a movie.
Did Hillary actually kill the sheriff? Because he's obviously a bad guy.
We don't know.
And we don't know.
Did the uncle kill him?
But then they're like,
what was the deal with this contractor? Who was that? How did he factor in?
I don't know if there was a contrast.
I don't know. It's also apparent that Nicole Kidman's character slept with every straight male character in this movie, except for maybe Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn may be the only straight male in this movie who did not have sex with Nicole Kidman's character, I believe. Yeah. So dumb. Holy cats. All right. So this week's, we have a couple of So Wrong It's Rights.
So wrongs its rights.
So wrongs its rights. Right. Yeah, that sounds good. In 2012,
I don't think I've ever been so exhausted talking about a movie.
I know that took a lot out.
And considering the cast were all acting very well.
Well, and the director had done two other good movies.
Some of the plot points.
How did this guy do Precious?
He did Precious, and he did that new one too. That Butler.
Yeah.
Just none of them developed the plot. The points.
This was like a good movie wanting to happen, and it never did. It wanted to be a good movie so bad. There were some scenes that were shot well. There was really There were some deep characters, but they didn't make any sense in what
funny
they were doing.
The acting actually wasn't bad in it.
The acting overall is phenomenal.
The acting was okay.
Yeah. But the movie is just so disconnected and crazy. So here's our So Wrong It's Right question. In 2012, Fox News put out an article saying when the Oscar nominations came out, what they believed were the biggest snubs. Going to give you, there were five snubs on the list. I'm going to give you four. Obviously, the fifth one involves the Paperboy, if we're doing it in connection with this movie. I'm going to have you guess what the fifth snub was, the connect to the Paperboy. The first, this is just to explain.
These are the real snubs.
These are the real snubs that Fox News thought were, Fox News Entertainment. Ben Affleck, who was snubbed for directing Argo. Catherine Bigelow, who was snubbed for directing Zero Dark Thirty. Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio, who they thought was snubbed for a supporting actor.
You know, you're right the first time.
He was at Sleepaway Camp. You don't know.
Oh, I'm in trouble here. Supporting actor Oscar for Django. And Skyfall, which they felt was snubbed for Best Picture. Those were the other four. The fifth one on the list was from The Paperboy. So a guess as to what you thought.
I was going to say Nicole Kidman.
Seems too obvious.
But I'll say John Cusack would he be supporting actor for The Paperboy? I don't think he's supporting actor.
Okay. Jack, what are you going with?
I think I'm going to go with...
Jack's looking it up! Cheater!
I'm going with the director. I'm not looking it up. I was looking for the director's name.
Lee Daniels.
Lee Daniels. I'm going with Best Director Lee Daniels.
Okay.
I'm next?
Yes.
I'm going Macy Gray.
Okay.
For support.
Best original song?
Who I did think was the best part of this movie.
I think maybe somebody would think that.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Nicole Kidman.
Brian Muir takes it. They said...
Really? That's too obvious.
They said they thought Nicole Kidman was snubbed for Best Supporting Actress. And we should say, she was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress. She was also nominated by the Screen Actors Guild for Best Supporting Actress.
I gotta say, I was reading, I don't know what this is on Rotten Tomatoes, but I was reading some of the top critics, like Roger Ebert and the New York Times and stuff in this movie, and they didn't give this movie scathing reviews. They were basically it has faults, it's not great, but for what it was trying to be, a, period piece kind of mystery movie, it's effective in what it's trying to do. It's like, what are you talking about?
There was no mystery. It was very polarizing.
I felt so weird watching this movie because there were times when I found myself liking it.
What?
That is disgusting.
But get out!
I would.
Dun, dun, dun.
But wait, let me finish.
That's the mystery.
I would have to pull. Once something confusing happened, though, I'd be like, okay, I'm off this train.
What part did you
I don't know. There were certain scenes that just worked, and. Individually.
I'm going to agree with Jack to a degree that I thought there were ideas that were.
There were ideas that were good. The acting is very good. The characters were good, but the story.
It did it in such a trashy way.
The story sucks. Okay, the movie is sleazy. There are some unnecessary scenes in there, obviously, but I thought that there was something to, like I said, well, you know, like this little relationship that Zac Efron and Macy Gray's characters had. I thought that was very sweet. I thought that worked very well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, but they had those things, but they never.
They never expand on them. So yes, overall as a movie, it fails.
And it never.
But there were moments
together.
Where I was I'm kind of liking this, and then oh wait, we're going somewhere else. So now it sucks again.
It's like oh, it's
well
about
this
Zac
could
Efron.
Work, and no, never mind, it's done.
Right, it's about Zac Efron, Macy Gray. Oh no, it's not about. It's about Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman. Well, not really.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about
Zac Efron and Matthew McConaughey.
It's about the brothers. No, nope, right. It doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about Yardwee. Nope, nope. He's out of the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe
so,
they'll
yes,
do.
Seriously, I'm not lying. Seriously, there were times when I was watching it.
I thought
I was like,
you were
am
lying.
I
okay.
This?
Yeah.
You're not lying?
I'm not lying.
I'm hoping he's
all right,
lying.
So wait, this was a very polarizing movie. I know this is actually, believe it or not, well, very polarizing in the sense that this is like in the 40s on Rotten Tomatoes, which is way higher than most movies we see. However, it was The Onion, their AV club. This is their worst film of 2012. They voted it. When this played at Cannes, at the film festival, it was reported that it got a 16-minute standing ovation end of the screening. However, there's more to the story.
Wait, 16? That's because they turned it off early?
No, 16 minutes, 16-minute long standing ovation after they played it. However, after the Hollywood Reporter and a couple other venues ported that, if you go on Wikipedia, there's an addendum to that with a guy who says he was at that screening questioning the 16-minute standing ovation, saying a lot of that was 16 minutes of jeering and mocking of the film.
I mean, anything for 16 minutes after a movie. Well, why does it go on that long? Right,
yeah, that's a long time.
This movie inspires passion.
Yeah.
Some people despise it, and some people love it.
Once you hit like 4 minutes, be like,
are you in the camp of loving it?
I'm in the camp of hating it. I just don't understand. It was kind of like I felt.
You're a closet Paperboy fan.
I felt like Zac Efron's character. There were times when I was just like, this movie, it's working, but I'm confused. I hate it too. It was confusing.
Well, Jack got drunk once and watched The Paperboy.
Well, and Nicole,
no, I'm serious though. There were
one
moments
time
where
Lee
I was
Daniels
like,
and I got drunk. And
it was like
we did some things.
Take really good actors, really good characters, and put them in a crappy story and add some sleazy sex, and that's
but
this
they weren't
movie.
Really good characters.
I thought the characters were
pretty much one-dimensional.
Like Yardley was
been.
Like Yardley was.
It could have been, but they're pretty
much
one-dimensional.
I think there's complex elements to the characters that
well,
don't
even Yardley,
get,
you know.
Well, you know that just don't get taken care of. Yeah. You know. And we should say, Nicole Kidman, as I said, nominated for a Golden Globe, nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award, also nominated by the Alliance of Women Film Journalists for an award they don't usually give out, an award entitled Actress Most in Need of a New Agent. So not everyone was a fan.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Very polarizing film. I don't even remember. I can't even compare this film. If you said to me, compare this to a film we've done, I'd be like, I think Drive Angry, because both films are trying to be outrageous.
Right.
And yet are working so hard to be outrageous, but are also like, just like, no, like they're not coming together and
failing.
At least
failing. You knew kind of, at least like Drive Angry actually had like, you knew kind of what the characters' motivations were,
right?
Kind of, whereas this one is just all over the place.
Yes. I have a friend who calls movies like this like Emperor's New Clothes movies, where you have like this like Oscar pedigree cast, and it's like, oh, it's like very high art, and you're like, oh, this must be art, you know,
and
people
not,
would
yeah,
love
yeah.
it, and you're like, hey, we just need someone to be like, no, this is stupid. Like, we can all say this is stupid.
It's possible for good actors to be in a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do a spinoff with Macy Gray, and it'll be called Lee Daniels, The Maid.
Oh, maybe. So. Yeah. I hope it's all voiceover. Just all voice. Just her talking about things, some of which
that's
we'll see, some of which
yes,
we won't.
It's Macy Gray witnessed. Narrating The Butler.
And here's my last question in this movie. Who is Macy Gray talking to? Like, when you see her...
Yeah, they never show like
the confused audience.
Yeah, I don't know. Is a reporter?
Oh,
or,
yeah, I forgot about it. It started with... Macy Gray talking to somebody.
Yeah,
who is
I completely forgot
who
about
was
that.
Interviewing her about this?
Was it the police after the murder?
I think that was shot after the fact.
I don't know.
I honestly think that scene was shot
after. No, it must have been an interview or a like a reporter because she asked at one point, "How much am I getting paid for this?"
That's right. She does see something. Like yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Must be like a like a 360 and it's like Yardley.
Oh.
That's why I thought. And, or a
180. Do a 180 with the camera.
I thought it might have been.
360.
360.
It's Macy Gray.
It's Macy Gray again.
She's in it for herself.
I'm paying myself for this story.
She's interviewing herself.
There's a mirror there.
She is Kaiser Sose.
Wow. Yeah. All right. This I think that brings this episode. This is a long one. We're gonna wrap this one up quick. As always, please like us on Facebook. Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. You can follow some of us on Twitter.
At Jack Estabrook.
At Cody Ewell.
At Randy Like the Wolf.
Nice. He's on the Twitter, folks.
Has that been updated lately?
I haven't gone on in a while.
Has anybody done anything on that?
Not in a while. I gotta get back on it.
Yeah, we gotta get on
that. Do I have any
you
followers?
Do I?
I haven't checked in a while, but
actually, you've been. I think somebody. I think you've been cited on a few things.
Ooh. Have I?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Don't. Well, I mean, I would say people are tweeting at you, but I don't know if you know what that means. So anyway,
it's like if someone's talking and, you know, having a conversation, they bring your name up. That's kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I can know that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. You have followers, and you can follow.
There's
the show.
There's a buzz about you.
Oh yeah, you're trending. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge. Your clout is off the charts.
Yeah.
Swiggity swag.
Clout.
Swiggies.
What's in the bag?
Yeah, that actually should be your recording, Twitter name. And you can follow the show at @windupfilms. We have many more. We're going to be getting into our horrible horror movie October coming up. And
some not so horrible.
Some pretty terrible.
I think I said it before. I'll say it again. It's the trial of Andy Wolf is coming up now.
That's right. We're going to get to delve into the mind of Andy Wolf over the next few weeks.
I'm going to use the word atmosphere a lot.
I think you should have to put a quarter in a jar every time you say that.
Yeah.
I'll
bring a lot of quarters.
I'd be in favor of that. All right, that brings this one to a close. We'll see everyone next week. Thanks, bye.